Father, we are grateful because you are excellent God, mighty you are. Great is your name. You don't seek counsel from any man on what to do. You know it everything. Before it happened, you have already known. God, today you are aware of everything. Lord, I pray that your word will come to us as a healing balm to the hearts of men in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to the understanding of everyone in the name of Jesus. And as men that hear the sound of our voice, O Lord, shall be converted, be changed, be renewed, be transformed by your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, have your way tonight. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The continuation of our discipleship teaching. I'm talking tonight on hindrances to discipleship. Obstacles, hindrances that discipleship has. There are things that make the thing not to work. Why people are finding it difficult to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why is it that today we have so many churchgoers who are not disciples? Hindrances to discipleship. In the book of Luke in chapter 9, again. This Luke chapter 9 addresses so much the issue of discipleship. In verse 57, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go down and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go, bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Discipleship is the strength of Christianity. It is the strength of the church. Disciples are the true Christians and are the people Christ built and also the backbone of the church. Praise the Lord. So disciples are the backbone of the church. These are the true believers. They are the followers of Jesus Christ. They are not just churchgoers. They are not just people who carry Bible. Whether they don't read it or they read it, they don't understand the meaning. Or even when they understand, they are not willing to do what the scripture says. Disciples are followers. Those who are true Christians. They are the backbone of the church of Jesus Christ. So we must know that we are called to be disciples and we must be disciples of Jesus if truly we are identified with him. It's not enough to just say, I'm a Christian. Are you a follower of the teachings of Jesus? Can you explain to somebody what it is to be a Christian? Does your life show forth that you are a believer? So that is why discipleship. Now, in this place where we read, we see that there are three kinds of disciples and three kinds of tempers are revealed in this place. And none of them is acceptable with Jesus. You see the three people here from verse 57. You see there, it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever that goes. In fact, he was ready. He made himself available. That's how we used to see them. You see people say, I want to follow you. In fact, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm going to listen to what you are saying. But how long does this stay? Do they really follow like that? Do they stay to the end? This is where we see people who are Mr. Too Quick. They are too quick to accept the gospel. Oh, before you even preach, they have already accepted. And you will be saying, ah, wonderful, I have won a soul. Not knowing that these are Mr. Too Quick. They have not looked into what he said, what they are even thinking. They have not think about it. He just say, I have accepted Jesus Christ. You have the second one, Mr. Too Slow.
very slow to believe. You will be talking. You look at what the Bible says. It says, and another, in verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He's sluggish in the things of God. He has many things he wants to do. He will not accept easily. So that is mistake too slow. Another one is mistake too easy. Another said unto him, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I am going to follow you now. But I have something I want to do. It makes itself easy. He thinks it's just going to be an easy thing. Let me just follow. In fact, I have decided to follow you now. But the Bible says, no man who has put his hand to this plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's why many people cannot be qualified, because they look back. So this is Mr. He thought the discipleship is just going to be an easy thing. No. These are people, no cross will be too heavy. No row. We must understand that there is no cross that will be too heavy. No row will be too long for any man who wants to follow God. No cross will be too heavy. No row will be too long for a man who really wants to follow God. Yes. Praise the Lord. So, you see the first person there. He said, he's Mr. Too Quick. He was too quick to count the cost. He took our decisions too quickly. Though it is a good thing. You're very good. If you can, if they just preach before you know, you know, in my course of this work, I see people where you just preach before you even say, come out to give your life. They have already come out. They are very, you will be very happy. Thank God for these people. But you see, they are the people who never count the cost. Very quick to accept. Very quick to say yes. Very quick to say I do. But after saying I do, he's not ready to follow his confession. He's not ready to follow what he has said he was going to do. That is it. Those are the kind of people that most of the time you have in this gospel. Very quick to take decision. Look at it again, verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Are you going to follow this kind of person? Who does not have where to lay his head? So you must sit down, count the cost, find out, who is this Jesus? What is he doing? Can I follow him? Listen to me, brethren. It's become so very, very ironic to see believers who don't count the costs of following the master. The reason why there's a lot of backsliding, a lot of people who are being captured by the devil or along the ways, because from the beginning, they never counted the costs. They think it was going to be an easy thing. Jesus will give us food now. Jesus will bless us. Jesus will heal us. Jesus will do everything for us. Let's follow this man. But when they get along the way and encounter trouble, they turn back. They say, no. This is too hard. Why? The Bible says, count the costs. In Luke chapter 14, let's read. Luke chapter 14, the Bible says, I read from verse 26. If any man come to me, I hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. But you discover that in verse 25, the Bible said there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them. The multitude, Jesus was preaching this message. The multitude are following him. When you have such plenty of people following you, are you not going to encourage them? Will you pursue them away? You just say, all of you come. You are welcome. Thank God you have accepted this message. But look at the message of Jesus to them. If any one of you hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. This man, you don't want people to follow. You want me to hate my father and my mother? Want me to hate my life, hate my brothers and sisters? And whosoever doth not bear his call and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower? So Discipleship is building a tower. Praise the Lord. Following Jesus is building a tower. So you don't know about it. Which of you intended to build a tower, sitting not down first, and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Want to build a tower, a great estate, that you don't sit down to do quantity surveying, to check whether can I finish this project? You just come and put a big house on the ground so that people will say, hey, this man want to build a big house. But you didn't count the cost. You didn't check it. After some years, the house is abandoned. It's not done. It's not completed. Maybe they just raised the block and they could not leave the roofies. Or they managed to put roof. There is no way to finish the house now. Look at it now. Rats and other reptiles have taken over the place because this man never can the call. That's the state of so many people. They come into this Christianity. They don't can the call. Can I follow this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? What is he doing? What is his purpose? What is he going to? What did he really want from us? Listen to me. This Christianity is discipleship. It is counting the cost. You know, President decided there's no point of forcing people. If you don't want to accept this thing, stay there as a multitude. You can be coming to church, no problem. But to say you want to be a worker, you want to be a leader, you must count the cost. Praise the Lord. You must count the cost. You must be ready to bear the cross. You must be ready to deny certain things. If you cannot be a worker here where you are not ready to deny things, there's no more sacrifice any longer. All those things we have done, it never happened because these people are multitude. When it is time to count the cost, when you tell them that it's time for VG, it is time for D, they say, no, I cannot do that. And then, yeah, that person says, it's a worker. What are you working? You don't know that you must count the cost? Which of you intended to build a tower without sitting down there and counting the cost? Whether he has sufficient to finish it, least after he had laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it. And all that behold, he began to mock him. See, this man began to build and was not able to finish. They will mock you. You started this Christianity. Everybody knows, born again, Bible career. But today, you are another person. You also follow them to their disco hall. Follow them to do what they are doing. And you are no more a serious person. The zeal is not there. Fire is not there. You are also sitting down on Sunday when others are going to church. When they are saying, when they are saying others are doing their own business on Bible study day, you are doing your business. On revival meeting day, you are doing your business. You are not, there is no commitment to you. Other people see you. You are not a disciple. And you started this journey quite alright, but you cannot continue. That is where the problem is. Praise the Lord. We have so many of these kind of people thinking that it is something so quick. They accept it so quick. Ah, Jesus, wonderful Jesus. They quickly run. But when it is time to do what is required, they cannot do it. Praise the Lord. Not considering the lifestyle of Jesus. He returned so quickly as he was quick to make consecration. That's what happened to this man. In that verse 58, he never counted the cost. He never considered the lifestyle of Jesus. When Jesus now told him, you want to follow him, first half would, best of the air, half next. But the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. He said, I beg, I cannot follow a man like that. He quickly turned back. Praise the Lord. He made commitment quickly and also turned back quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it to me? It is better to have power of God than to have the possession of this world. Take note of that. It is better, and I'm telling you, that's good. It is better to have the power of God than to have the possession of this world. That's why you see today in the church of Nigeria, lost the power of God, but they have all the possession, but the power is not there. That's what they went after. They didn't go for power, they went for possession. They want the riches of this world. They want all the money. They want all the aeroplane. But with power to cause sinners to bow was not given. Praise the Lord. The same thing, that's what happened to an individual. You either go for power or you go for possession. Are you ready for power? Are you ready for the power that will make Satan to bow before you, quiver before you? Or you just want the possession and glamours of this world, the riches of this world, and the power is not there. You cannot bind any devil. You cannot, in fact, they can put sickness in your body. They can mess you around. They can put sin there. Before you know, you fall into immorality. Before you know, you are telling lies and you are still preaching. You are still dancing around. No, power is better to have power than the possession of this world. Christ's word are to teach us humility and to shape in our lives. The words of Christ is to teach us humility. Is to shape in our lives. That's what Jesus came to do. Humility. Shaping our lives. That's what he came to do. If you come to Jesus, your life have not been shaping. You have not gotten the humility of God. You have not followed him. You have not followed him. If you follow him, he will knock off all those ugly life in you. All those stubborn life, all those self-will, all those character that are ungodly, that nobody cannot control you. Somebody cannot tell you, let's do like this, and you follow. And you say, no, this is what I want to do. So, Jesus came to shape in our life. Are you long? Are you like that, Mr. Too quick? Check it all. He failed the test of a simple lifestyle, not having enough earthly possession. He failed that, this whole Jesus, we're discussing something on Sunday. This whole Jesus doesn't have where to lay his head. He doesn't have house. Doesn't have big, big property. No, I won't follow. Praise the Lord. I want to have everything. I want to have all the big, big things in this world. If Jesus says he doesn't have anything, no, I'm not going to follow this person. So he failed that test. The test of having a simple lifestyle, not really having enough possession in this world, he failed that test. Praise the Lord. Then we have the second person, Mr. Too Slow. You see that verse, Luke 9, verse 59. The Bible says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I have something I want to do. Before I follow you, I want to go and bury my father. Give me time. I'm coming. When I finish all the ceremonies, when I finish all the things I want to do, then I will come and follow you. Mr. Too Slow. This one failed the test of urgency. He didn't call on Jesus. It was Jesus that even called on him. He never knew how urgent the kingdom of God is. The matter of the kingdom, the urgency of the kingdom, he didn't know. No urge to call on Jesus. He never have any urge to call on him. He never see himself as he's decaying. He's going to, if he dies, he'll go to hell. He cannot call on Jesus. Too slow to meet the needs of the master. Too slow to meet the need of the church. Too slow to perceive and understand. Too slow to decide even when Christ called him. You know, there are people that are too slow to perceive and understand. Even when the Spirit of God is moving, they don't see anything. They don't understand the teaching. They don't understand the Word of God. Why? Because they are very slow. You may be teaching and their mind has fled. It has gone somewhere. They don't benefit much. So, they have been there for 5 years in the church, but no benefit. Nothing. No fire. No zeal. No commitment. Because they are too slow. Too slow to decide even when Christ called on him. He was like the lingering Lord. You remember Lord in Genesis chapter 19? Lord, look at Genesis chapter 19. The Bible says, that's how so many people are. Do you know, it's not the kind of message Lord received. It's not easy for people to receive that kind of message. In Genesis chapter 19, the Bible says, from verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughter, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What are you talking about? Destroy this city. I beg, forget about that. 15. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And why he lingered? Why he lingered? The men lay hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Praise the Lord. The Lord be merciful to him. It's not easy to get that kind of mercy that the Lord had on Lot. It's not an easy thing. He was lingering. Move, rush. Trouble is coming. Trumpet will sound. Judgment is coming. Jesus is going to come. He said, well, we know. But you see, there are some things we want to do. We are not finished. Let us finish this thing before we know how to prepare for Jesus coming. That's what many church people are saying. There's no urgency. You don't see it as an urgent matter. You don't see it as a serious matter. Even when some people die around them, they are not bothered. Is that people? Was it prepared? Was it really prepared? They are not worried about that. They don't see the urgency. Lord did not see the urgency of the destruction of Sodom. Even when the angels were there, they have to lay hold on him and drag him out. You see, his wife still messed up. Still missed it because there was that laxity. Just like so many church members are very lazy today. That lukewarmness was there. Not hot, not cold. Unseriousness was there. So, that's why the wife could not be told. Thank God Lot was able to, as they struggled him out, he was able to jump out. He was able to escape. But did the wife escape? No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, it took angels to hasten Lot to get out of Sodom. Even when he knew that judgment was coming to the people. He knew already. That's why I want to let you know. You must leave earthly cares alone. Leave earthly care for earthly people. If you are an earthly man, you can care much about the things of the world. Leave carnal things for carnal people. That is the Lord's command. Leave carnal things for carnal people. Leave earthly things for earthly people. You think that you want to measure yourself with sinners. Their life is in this world. You know, that's what some of us are doing. You are born again. You don't know what it is to be born again. Separated from the world. You want to measure your life with the life of a sinner. You want to struggle the world with them. They don't bother. This is where their life is. Everything, you know, several times I sit down to reason. What, ask an ordinary man, what is his vision? In why, after you are born, you go to school, maybe you have all the degrees, then you work in a big place or you have a big business. Then you build house, you buy car, you marry wife, whether many wife, whether one or many children. You train your children. They now start giving you money. You eat, you enjoy, then you die. That's all. Nothing more. That's the vision of an ordinary man. Nothing more. There's nothing like if I die. What will happen next? No. Even if you die, your children are struggling with the property, the man is gone already. So, now, as a believer, is that the same thing life you want to live? Is that the kind of vision you also have? No eternal plan? Nothing more than this world? Live earthly thing for earthly people. You look at that verse 60 of Luke chapter 9. He said, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go down and preach the kingdom of God. Live earthly thing for earthly people. Then, burial ceremony. Go to the village. Some people are praying for their mother to die, their father to die, because there's going to be ceremony. They have been doing contribution for long. So that the people will come and celebrate with them and give them money for the contribution. That's all. Those are carnal people. Those are earthly people. That's all they are after. They don't have any other thing, no other vision, more than to bury some other people. The same thing they are doing in the church today. They're even planning for their own burial. Carnal people, earthly people. People who die in the sea, why were they buried? Who died through a plane crash, how were they buried? That they didn't find their body. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's discipleship. The disciples, did they care about their burial? They never cared. Praise the Lord. But in the church of today, people are conscious. This church I will attend now, where they will help me organize my burial well. In case I die, they will do better coffee for me. They will go and carry me to my village. That's what they are doing now. That's what people are doing now. And you cannot do that kind of a thing and be a disciple. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let the dead bury their dead. Go and preach the kingdom of God. The people, that's why people are not bothered about the kingdom matter. They are concerned about how their burial will be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we have the third one, Mr. Too Easy. Look at it in verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first, bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. He think it's going to be easy like that. He came to Jesus, you say, but he has reserves. There are things he wants to do first. Like the other one. He failed the test of continuity. Let me first. I will follow you, but I have to go and bury my father first before I come. I have to go and bid them farewell. You know, I have met a man called Jesus. I want to follow him now. You may not be seeing me very well. And they will not see. The family people will not hold meeting. And they don't decide, who is that Jesus? Where did he come from? How long are you going to follow him? How far will you go with him? And they will be telling them. They will say, no, you can't do that. You know, in this village, in this community, in this family, we don't do like that. So, we are not saying you will not follow Jesus, but you see, you have to be careful. Now, I used to tell you, one of my friends those days, he said, the father said to him, you say you are a Christian now, you are carrying Bible. He said, this is your Bible? That is not the way they carry it. I burn you. Your own, you are putting your Bible on the head. Don't put it there. Put it in your shoulder. Because the Bible can be heavy. When the Bible is heavy, you just do like this, it will fall. So you don't need to put it on your head. Praise the Lord. That is the counsel the family people will give you. Yes, that's why. Why must you? Did Paul go and seek counsel from his family people? Should I follow this man that have met me on the road to Damascus? No time to seek counsel from family. No time to find out from family member whether I will follow or not. Anybody want to be a disciple? One of the major reasons today, why people cannot be disciples for Jesus because of family. Their family will never allow them. Their family has goal for them. They have things for them. Their mother has something for them. Their father has something for them. Their husband has something for them. Their wife has something for them. Their children. Many family relations. There is something they want them to do first. They've set a boundary for them. They don't want to offend their father. They don't want to offend their mother. They want to offend their brother. They want to offend anybody. So they have to be very careful. No, you know, I will follow you, but let me see what my family are saying. Praise the Lord. It is not as easy as that. In John chapter 8, the Bible says, John chapter 8, and from verse 30, the Bible says, and he spake this word, many believed on him. Thank you very much. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It's not enough to believe. I believe. Is that what we are talking about? You need to continue. This is my faith. The test of continuity. If ye continue in my word, that's when you are my disciple. Not because I believed yesterday. I believed last week. In me, I've been a believer. Praise the Lord. How did you continue? How far have you gone? Let's measure the size of your Christianity now. Which level are you now? Which grade are you? What is the percentage of your Christian life? When you believe? Because many people, they don't have any percentage. They are still a baby because they never continue. Praise the Lord. All they do once in a while, they worship God. Everybody worship God, even the idol worshippers. Praise the Lord. That's all. They don't study anything about God. They don't know. They have no commitment. There is nothing God has told me. This is what you will do for me. God has told me this is what I'm doing for you. Simple. So, they don't have such a thing. So, he said, if ye continue in my word, then I hear my disciples today, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How will you know the truth when you don't continue? There's no continuing in studies. There's no continuing in prayer. There's no continuing in fellowship. There's no continuing in service. There's no continuity in anything that you can say, I started doing this thing 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's what I'm still doing now. Praise the Lord. There are people who know the truth, but have reserves in their heart. They know the truth, but right in their heart, they reserve. Yeah. You know, so many people used to tell me, that thing you are preaching, that's the truth, oh. Anybody want to go to heaven? Let him follow that, you know. But are they following it? No. Praise the Lord. They know the truth, but they can't follow it. May the Lord deliver us in Jesus' name. You can take this consecration that when you preach to someone, if you are a disciple, and you say, if I preach to someone, I will not leave him until he either pack out or he dies. That's a disciple who wants to follow somebody. Follow him up. And find out, teach him, tell him what you need to tell him. I will not let him go. Not that somebody, you don't meet somebody today, you try to talk to the person and he gets angry, you let him go. Say, no, I don't want to. No. If you are saved, you know the process. What it takes you to be saved. Then you want to have serve somebody else to be saved. You can have that consecration. I will follow up this person. I will teach this person. I will show him the way. You know, there's something we do today which is wrong. The earthly needs of people, we hand them over to God. In as much as, yes, we show love, you have anything, you give somebody, but it doesn't mean that we are the one to solve the people's problem. You cannot solve the problem of a man. Praise the Lord. Anybody who come into the church who do not know Jesus, who do not know how to pray for his problem to be solved, you can't solve his problem. Amen. In this church, for example, we have made those mistakes. We try to help people, give them money, hey, counsel them, oh yeah, come and do this job. Oh, let's. And yet the person doesn't know how to pray. Yet it's not attending Bible study. Yes, it's not following what we are doing. Stop that kind of a thing. Praise the Lord. We teach the people spiritual things. Somebody must be interested in attending Bible study, attending revival meeting. He must be taught how to pray. He must be there in the Sunday school. He must learn. If somebody who's not interested in following this thing, you are carrying his body, he will go away. Praise the Lord. Even when his problem is solved, he never can regard Jesus. He will never, because he never know about the importance of spiritual things. Hallelujah. So, we are not the one to solve people's problems. Hand them over to God. Let them pray on their own and get results. Hallelujah. So, in summary, you discover that these people, they show these three kind of hindrances. Number one, love of earthly comfort and ease. These people that Jesus called, you see what they show? Love for earthly comfort. Everything you are doing without the cross is love of comfort and easy life. Let me first go and bury my father. Let me first go and bid them farewell. Francis Halfo, which house are we going to lodge? No five-star hotel? No, I'm not going to follow you. Earthly comfort. And that is the problem today. That's what Satan is using against the people who go to church. In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, in verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I used to hear some statements. No, somebody said, I needed to go to church. So the other said, you have been going to church before now. Is it only today? Have you not been going to church? Hey, today, let us not go. Today, let's go somewhere else. But when our whole Christianity is not like that. Praise the Lord. It's every day. Every day. That's the commitment. That's the consecration. You have been going to church before now. Can you see statements of backsliders? People who don't know God, who are not disciples of Jesus Christ. I'll be going to church before now. Is he only today when you not go? That's how people backslide. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross. There's a cross to take. There's a denial that's required. If any man, follow me. So people are just following. They are not taking up any cross. They are not denying themselves. And they say they want to follow. They say they are also there. We are also disciples like that. And you can't convince anybody for Jesus. You cannot. Your life doesn't convince anybody. And you are a disciple for 1 year now. for 2 years now. Your attitude, your character doesn't convince anybody. Neither, not to even talk of your language. Praise the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I read from verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me among them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. People who mind earthly things, how can they be disciples? People who are earthly conscious, how can they be disciples? People who are looking at how much gain they have made in the world, how can they be disciples? People are so concerned, and that's what they are so tied to. How can they be disciples of Jesus? Verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our conversation. That's our conduct. That's our character. That's our behavior. Heavenly character. Heavenly conduct. Trying to make sure we get there. Our attitude must show that all the time. But when somebody is not showing so heavenly character, is concerned about the things of the world, how much have I gotten? How much are they giving me? How much will they pay me? Since when they go to the church, how much they don't they give you? We now monetize Christianity. Becomes gain of this world. Earthly matters. May the Lord deliver us. The next thing we see, the hindrance we see there was precedence of secular job or occupation. Precedence of secular job. Occupation. People who love their secular job, their occupation, their business, more than the work of God. That's what we see in church today. People that love their secular commitment, their secular job. That's what we see today, more than business of God. So that's why no time for Bible study, no time for revival meeting, no time. Because we are going to do our business. We don't close on time. Money is hard now. So we just have to go and look for money, even if it's the midnight. Anytime, we just have to. Because if we don't have money now, will we be able to serve God? What if they ask us to contribute money? What if they ask us to do this? So that's how little by little they drop Christian commitments and face their secular job. Praise the Lord. Start running after their work. Start running after, run after their master. Run after their business. Run after every other thing. In matter of priority, they choose their job above anything about God. They choose their job, choose their business. You know, you see some of this, some brethren, so we see sometimes they will tell you, say, we don't have time, we are busy. Busy doing what? Busy for Jesus? Okay, the money you are working, how much have you brought to God? How much have you brought to God now? Now that you are very busy, now that you are so serious in the world, busy but guilty before the Lord. So, we must check up all these things very well. We must check it all. Today, many are in this category. They can do everything to protect their earthly job, but not even doing half to protect the work of God. Everything to keep their secular job. I want to do this first. There is something I want to get first. There's something I'm trying. If I build this house now, oh, people will know my God is great. If I buy this motor now, oh, people will know my God is great. If I do this, if I buy this cloth now, then it will be wonderful. What about the service of God? No, we are coming. We will do that later. We will do that. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 37. When you trouble some people too much, attend Bible study now. Get a little bit committed. You can come early to attend Sunday school class. They say, oh, no, I will go away. there are troubles. Since I'm not meeting up in that place, I want to go to where there is no Sunday school. I want to go to where there is no Bible study. Praise the Lord. Am I not still a Christian? I am. Matthew chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Praise the Lord. He that loseth his life for my sake. What have you lost for Jesus? What job? You know, when we started this race those days, I used to tell you, there are certain things we cannot do. There are certain commitments we cannot take out there because of the church. There are certain places we cannot go because of the church. But today, you hardly see believers without commitments. They can easily go anywhere, anytime, without anything troubling them. Nothing, no commitment. That's why most people find it difficult to even take commitment in church, because they don't want, so that in case I want to go anywhere, nobody should stop me. In case I want to do anything, I don't want to go and take permission from pastor. I don't want that type of life. So nobody should control me. Is it not to worship my God? Praise the Lord. I just go and worship my God. Praise God. Number three, priority of tender family time. They want to take of their family, or rather, they want to take care of their family. Yes. Giving birth to children, marrying wives. My wife is pregnant. We need to do this. We need to buy baby things. I need to solve this family problem. I need to feed my family. I saw no chance for the things of God. That is the situation. Family ties. That was why in Luke chapter 21, you know, Jesus foresee all these things. And he wrote them down in the Bible. Luke chapter 21. The Bible says in verse 33. Say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with satiety and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Jesus saw this thing. He said, take it to yourself, because heaven and earth might pass away, my word shall not pass away. Take it to yourself. In other words, guide your heart. Be careful. Let it not be at any time your heart be overcharged with satiety. That is, your heart has been carried away by the merriment of the world, by the busyness of the world, by the issues of this life. Let your heart not be carried away by the drunkenness, by the cares of this life, so that day comes upon you unaware. You are not even thinking about that. You are thinking about the next business to go, your destiny to go, and before you know it, death knock, bam. Or the trumpet sound. But I was not yet preparing for the kingdom of God now. So be careful. He said, take care. So that your heart will not be overcharged. So that you will not be thinking that, oh, life is going to continue like this. No. We must be very careful. Very, very careful. Very, very careful. If you really want to be a disciple, you have to pray about any job, any business, any family care, any problem that will not allow you to serve God. Praise the Lord. Yes. That's how to be a disciple. You know, Jesus said, I brought trouble to this world. You are aware of that? I came with trouble. I came to bring problem upon this world, whereby there will be confusion between The mother and in-law and his daughter-in-law, there will be fight. They will not agree. Yes. There will be confusion. That's the confusion he brought. How? It is in the confusion is in the place of commitment. Praise the Lord. When I want to go to night vigil now, you say no, I cannot go to night vigil because of this and that. I said no, I will go. Yes. I will go to night vigil. I will go and pray to God. And at the end of the day, you may pursue me. We may be having conflicts. We may not agree again. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 10. Looking at I read from verse 32. Matthew chapter 10 from verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, he will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, he will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Praise the Lord. You see the problem Jesus brought? Discipleship causes this problem. A man will be at variance with his father, with his mother, with his mother-in-law. It is not the quarrel of iniquity. It is a quarrel of commitment. I want to go further in my service to God. And you say, no, I should not. No, we can't agree like that because Jesus is the owner of my soul. I must serve him. And you say, no. You can't go. Why must you go and stay in the church? Maybe you have a husband who did not believe God. Eh? You have been in church since morning. This is 3:00. What are you doing there? You won't go to that church again. This is where problem comes. Praise the Lord. There will be a variance. You say, no. I know, yes, I stayed long. But you see, we have some things we have to settle. There are issues about the kingdom which we are dealing with. Please, you must understand. If he doesn't understand and you pray, there will be variance. Praise the Lord. There will be quarrel. There will be disagreements. Because I cannot, because of you, stop serving my God. I cannot, because of you, stop following my God. Because marriage will end here, but Jesus continue forever. Praise the Lord. So we must be able to see this variance that Jesus brought into the world. A man's foe shall be there of his own household. That's what that scripture means. You know, sometimes today we only interpret this scripture to be maybe the witches and wizards that is troubling us are member of our household. No, what it means, disagreement. Praise the Lord. There will be disagreement between husband and wife, between mother-in-law and father-in-law, between a son and his father, a daughter and a mother. There will be disagreement because look at the child who gave her life to Christ or his life to Christ, and the father said, "Where are you going?" "Yeah, I'm going to school. I'm going to church." "Church? No way. Not to this house. I must go to church." And he said, "Eh? Will you disobey me?" "Yes, I will disobey you in this matter. Because the same God that we are going to serve is the one that created you and me." Praise the Lord. So there will be disobedience until the man will come to understand. But today people say, "No, offend your father. No, offend your mother. If you say don't go to church, sit down. Don't offend your husband. Don't offend your wife. If you say don't go to church, sit down." Jesus said, "I'm bringing a variance into the world. The man's enemy, they shall be there of his own household." How will you go and be arguing with somebody else outside? No, it is the people inside. That is what discipleship costs. Praise the Lord. That's the cost of discipleship. So somebody sit down there. I said, "If you go to that church again, I gave you my testimony. My brother will argue with, if you go to that church, you will eat that church." "Yes." I say, "I will eat the church. I prefer me with you separate than for me to leave this gospel." that many people leave church. And that's it. That was what happened. Praise the Lord. Are we really seeing such a thing again today? No, because people are no more ready to go forward. They are no more ready to give commitment to God. They are not listening to earthly matters. They want to follow earthly things. They want to do what the earthly people demand. So there will be no quarrel. Praise the Lord. That's why you see Ogboni people inside church. Ekankan people. Among people. Inside church. Why? There is no quarrel again. Bring your idol. Worship your idol. Worship your demon. And we still come together. We are born again. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 14. As we round up, the Bible says, Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. These are the scriptures that we used to read. He cannot means cannot. Can you hate your father? Hate your mother, hate your wife, hate your husband, hate your children, hate your brethren, hate your sisters, even your own life. Today, people take their lives so more important, special, that no matter what, if you try to convince them, you will cause problem. So you just leave them alone. Let them go to church whenever they want to go to church. Let them. I've decided, you know. When you follow as a leader or as a, if you follow up somebody, tell the people about spiritual matter, about spiritual commitment. If the person fails, he cannot leave the person. But he's not a committed member of the church. Praise the Lord. Take note of that. It's not somebody, everybody can, it's not everybody that can be committed. People, some people can just decide to worship. Allow them. Amen. Don't say you must come and be a worker here. It's not by force, it's by willingness. Praise the Lord. It's by willingness. Let the person be willing. If it's 2 people, 5 people, 10 people that are available, let's do it. Than gathering everybody together. At the end of the day, this one was a worker here. It's somebody who don't believe the leader of the church, who is still going to Babalawo house, who is still visiting prophets up and down. He don't believe. And you say it's a worker in that church. What type of worker? He's even a leader. He never understand the teaching. He never understand what they are doing there because we force them. Let's stop forcing people. Amen. But encourage them. Encourage them to serve God. Encourage them to worship God. Encourage them to be in church. There's no problem. Jesus had plenty of multitude that will follow him. Amen. It is out of the multitude you get disciples. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I am believing God. I am praying that you can rise up to be a disciple in Jesus' name. That you will be able to understand this basic issue in Christianity and be able to convince another person by it. These are the reasons why you see some people cannot backslide. Praise God. No devil can do it. Because when you know the secret of discipleship, Satan will fail over your life. There's nothing you can do. They said to Jesus, and when he preached a hard message, John chapter 6, many people ran away. And he even came to the call people and said, Peter and Paul, would you also go away? They said, to where shall we go? For we have gone to know that you are the one that have the word of eternal life. Where are we going? John chapter 6, I ran off from there. In verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. Do you believe what I'm teaching? Or tomorrow you have other churches you want to go. You're just here. Just there. You're just a worker. If they offend me, I'll go away. If they do thing I didn't like, I'll go to another church. That is what people are doing. That's one of the reasons why you find it difficult to raise disciples today. Because they can easily walk away. Were there no other people preaching in the days of Jesus?
In fact, John the Baptist was there. The Pharisees were there. They were also doing ministry in the days of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So if Peter and Paul go, they can go and join the Pharisees. But they say, where shall we go? We know you are the one that have the word of eternal life. Rise up on your feet. Ask God to take away all those hindrances out of your life. All those obstacles that help make men not to be disciples, that make people not to follow the master fully, that make them to have reservation. I will follow, but there are things I want to do. I will follow, but. Oh Lord, give me grace. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Take away all these hindrances out of my Lord. All these obstacles, all these barriers that does not make me stay too quick, too easy, too slow, finding it difficult to take decision for Jesus. Even when the Lord is speaking, he's still there. Or you are beginning to look at somebody is convincing you and say, this is your Jesus too much. Make you, so that I will come and join you in your sin. I come and join you in your iniquity, in your wayward life, in your worldly life. Come and join you. I cannot join you because I have made a decision to follow Jesus. Because my following Jesus will end up in eternity. It's not the one that I will regret. Oh Lord, give me grace. Oh Lord, give me grace. No matter what I want to do, that want to hinder my service for God, I will drop anything. There involves sacrifice, brethren. There are some sacrifice that must be done. There must that somebody to attend just 1 hour, 2 hour service during the week is a problem to that person. He don't want to make any sacrifice. He don't want to close. He don't want to. He don't want to do anything. He don't want to leave the kitchen. I am cooking food. I am going to visit somebody. I am doing this. So in the 24 hours of the day, you can't plan your life in a way that when you needed to be in the presence of God, you will be there. When you need it, what if they say, let's go and do evangelism. Let's go for visitation. You don't have time because you are working. Are you the only one working? Or are there no people, other people work? What about those who are in the beer parlor? Every 5 o'clock, they meet in the beer parlor. Every 6 o'clock, they meet in the beer parlor. Are they not working? Is it only we believers that are working? What is the problem with us? Lack of commitment. Lack of consecration. We want to get every good thing from God, but to give him what he wants, we don't want. No. We must wake up. We must come to reality. We must come to responsibility that people who serve God, they are committed to it. They have decided. They have made up their mind. From to this day, this is what I will do. This day, this is what I will do. This other day, this is what I will do. For God, not for self. I see people, if they want to travel, they don't waste time. Nobody can stop them. But if it is for God, they can leave it. They can even throw it off. They say it's not necessary. It's not important. But their own business is very important. They wake up very early to rush, to meet up. But when it comes to God, they come late to church. When you tell them, don't come late to church now, they say, no, leave me. I want to go to places where nobody will trouble me. But God, when they are going to their own market, they must not go late, too, because if they go late, they will miss the business. They will miss the customer. They will miss this or that. They will sack them in the place of work. But church, is it not church? We can go anytime now. Church, they never finish prayer. Let them finish prayer first. Let them finish worship. When the pastor wants to start message, that man will go. A disciple. A follower. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. And change us. And transform us. And renew us. And make us sincere people. Serious believers. Committed Christians. Oh God, look at how idol worshippers are so committed to the idol. They fear the idol. But the people that serve God, they don't fear. They don't fear. They feel that anything goes. Anything goes. Holy Ghost, we need you. Work on us. Work on our people. Let men begin to wake up to responsibility so that we will not miss the kingdom of God. So that we will not say, had I know. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant you have used. You have opened our eyes tonight, O God, to this secret of your word. And the secret, O God, Father, King of glory, of discipleship. Lord, we ask the grace to follow.
Lord, you will give unto us in the name of Jesus. Father, King of glory, every form of hindrances, Lord, that may want to hinder us, Father, let them be cleared off by your blood in the name of Jesus. Almighty Father, empower us. Lord, the activities of the world will not overpower us. Lord, give all the grace, the strength, O God, to stand for you in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind the works of the enemy. We destroy the activity of the wicked against our discipleship. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us to stand for you. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.